Podcast Network Asia.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
I said, give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zayda Zay.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
You need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks.
Hey, everyone, this is Jeff Cobb.
I'm Lewis Howley. I'm Sam Spoker. We are Pretty Deadly. Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
Hello, my name is Zina Dragunov, the star, the NXT UK champion, and you're listening to the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast.
Watching and listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast. Stan C, Ro Moran, China Liao, Emil ASH, all checking in on 316 day. So happy 316 everyone. Siyempre, di ako nagpatalo, nag-Austin 316 shirt ako. Para sa mga may beer dyan, you can crack one open. Of course, in the name of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and drink responsibly. Is anybody actually celebrating 316 day? That's what I want to know.
No.
What?
I mean, back then, I would always wear my shirt on 316 day. That's the only way I would do it.
Yeah, the only time I really remembered to celebrate 316 day was when lockdown was declared, right? Because I was trying to find something else to distract myself with and to think about other than the impending lockdown. So somebody said in the comments kanina nung pre-show, happy lockdown anniversary. So I'm going to say it with all the sarcasm I can muster because I don't think anyone wants to celebrate the anniversary of when the Fire Nation attacked. So happy 316 day to everybody. Hope that you're having a cold one if you can. We've got a lot to talk about, as always, from WWE, AEW, and some news outside of the ring. But before we get to everything, let's tell you about all of the perks that come with being a Wrestling Wrestling Podcast patron. So Emil, you know what to do. Take it away.
All right, so madaming ganap in the next month or so. Of course, we have WrestleMania, and you can support everything that we do here in the podcast by subscribing to our Patreon at patreon.com/thewrestlingwrestlingpodcast. One of the perks of being a patron, of course, there are the watch parties, but for the WrestleMania viewing party, I think Ro will tell more about that after yung spiel ko dito. And madami pang perks ang pag-subscribe sa Patreon. Of course, we have the pasabays, which the next one will come during WrestleMania season. Madami sales, WWE shop. So if you want to get your authentic WWE merch, you can do that with us here on the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast. Also, we have review content of the weekly wrestling shows like Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, and some local wrestling events as well. And of course, you can join our Discord server, which we talk about everything and anything under the sun. We have wrestling talk, gaming talk, especially that the WWE 23 has just come out or will come out in a few days for some people. So we talk about that, lifestyle, fashion, sports, everything. And by subscribing to our Patreon, you are supporting everything that we do here in the podcast. So again, please subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/wrestlingwrestlingpodcast for as low as $5, or in our local currency, it's around 260 to 270 pesos.
Yeah, and Bruce already mentioned it in the chat. We have a WrestleMania watch party. Yes, there it is on the screen. It's happening April 2 and 3. That is Sunday and Monday morning. Gates open at 7. The show starts at 8. And siyempre, if you buy now, you get the early bird prices. One day is 400 pesos. 2 day pass is 750. All you got to do is go to our new ticketing system. It is from snack.ph. snack.ph/geektalkph, snack, snack.ph/geektalkph. And Shepard, you can buy the tickets there. You can buy a one-day pass for either day, or you can buy two-day passes. And I'm glad to say that we are sponsored by our event partner, Disney Plus.
So, yon.
Yon, I can say it now officially.
Wow.
We have some swag from Disney Plus. Yeah, look at us now. Look at us. We're going
to...
Sponsorship.
Yeah, we're going to give away some swag. Not sure on whether we're going to give away free subscriptions, but stay tuned. You know, you never know. And Jumper, there are more prizes on the way as well because we got that sponsorship money, you know?
Mm. Sinabihan na akong maghanap ng prizes na bibilhin. So exactly, may budget exactly. tayo ngayon.
Yeah. So if you go to our humble little watch party, you could come away with some free wrestling swag as well. Jan Jeffrey says, NASA WrestleMania watch party to BGC Bahame. Yes, we will be. At least one of us will be because it might not.
Yeah. So ako wala ako doon because I'll be working. But Sinaro, they will be there.
I also have prior family commitments. So.
Yeah. Ayun. So at least one of us will be there. Yeah. If you want to say hey to us, if you missed us over the past couple of years of the lockdown, you can always come say hey and let's have a fun time, a gay old time together watching wrestling as a family.
All right. Before we get to the wrestling stuff, since nabanggit ni Emil, WWE 2K23 is actually out for those of you who have the Icon and Deluxe editions. So I just want to say thank you to our friends over at 2K Sports and 2K Games for giving me another review copy for this year. Ro, I know you've got the game na rin, diba? So what are your first impressions of 2K23?
It's the same. Hindi naman siya nag-iba masyado. They just expounded, I guess, on what they established last year. The redesigned controls from last year are still there. For those who liked it, no worries. It's the same old gameplay that you come to love. If you don't like it, sorry na lang, but you know, it's the much more fighting game oriented design that they have.
Yeah, I actually enjoy how it's more reliant on combos now from the player standpoint. And I also think that the engine actually runs smoother, which is funny to say coming from someone who still plays on PS4. Pero ramdam ko na the engine's actually smoother this year than 2K22 and definitely compared to 2K20. I don't know how far you've gone along in terms of showcase mode or 2K showcase. I'm almost done with it. And last year, kay Rey Mysterio, I didn't even get past Eddie nung Halloween Havoc 1997 kasi sobrang hirap niya. But this year's 2K showcase is much easier and much more fun to get through.
I don't play showcase mode. It's not really my jam. I don't have an interest in playing as, you know, guys from their history. My jam is my faction, tapos my rise then. My faction because it gives you an opportunity to play with as many people on the roster as possible. So you're not locked in your favorites. You get to try a whole bunch of people, which is the original spirit of the game when we first, you know, started playing it all those decades ago. So I like collecting the cards. I like collecting the better cards, the wrestlers that you can get. Tapos, My Rise is My Rise, Emperor. It's the season mode. I haven't actually gotten started on it. I just finished making my Creative Superstar, which takes a while, Shambhala, because there are so many things that you have to customize and finish before you can really get it going. But I feel like a lot of things are better now. Create an Entrance is much better. I think Create a Superstar has a lot more design options, so you can go crazy with your cosplay. Sobrang ganda. It runs just as good on last gen than it does on current gen, I think.
Yeah. And that's what I meant earlier when I talked about it feeling smoother. It does feel like an upgrade compared to previous versions of the game. So, tomorrow is the official release date for the standard edition of WWE 2K23.
Oh, it's March 18.
March 18 pala. March 17 in the States. Of course, if you got the Icon version or the Deluxe version, that should already be out. So go ahead and check it out on your favorite consoles. And if you're on the same consoles that Ro and I are on, you know, go challenge us to a match or whatever. I'd love to play online. So go hit me up. I'm on PS4. Right? So there. WWE 2K23 out now. Thank you again to our friends over at 2K Games and 2K Sports for my copy of the game. Let's get some news here. And this one comes from last weekend when we found out na yung headliner for the WWE Hall of Fame Class of 2023 is none other than Rey Mysterio, the greatest luchador of all time. I think this is undisputed at this point now. When you talk about luchadors, the gold standard really is Rey Mysterio. And I'm actually surprised that he's getting inducted as an active superstar. And merong sabi-sabi online na the reason why this is happening now is maybe the WrestleMania match with Dom could be his last match. So Emil, what do you think about that rumor?
I think may validity naman yung rumors because the last time this happened where an active competitor was inducted to the Hall of Fame was Ric Flair. And that WrestleMania, you know, we all know what happened, the retirement match against Shawn Michaels. So, pwede. Kasi I think also Ray has also said himself as well na he wants to have his last match against his son, Dominic, and then that's it. I think Ray can still go at his age. Like, I'm surprised na if you would tell me like 7 years ago or 10 years ago na Ray would still be going and he's still as good as he was here in 2023, I'd be shocked because dami na yung injuries na eh. But he somehow got better and then na-extend yung run niya and now he will have the chance to at least retire on his own terms if yun nga yung mangyayari. So I think the rumors have some validity to it.
Shino, what do you think about this Hall of Fame induction being tied into the Ray versus Dom storyline? But Dom was bitching about just getting a BMW, not getting a Mercedes like his friends and all of that.
If anything, it helps Dom a lot more because it gives him teeth to grind out against his father. You know, these imagined slights that he's developed over the past few months here they've done a really good job in allowing Dom to stretch out this character. Because before that, he was just Rey Mysterio's son. Right? Even before the Judgment Day, he was just Rey Mysterio's son. So by giving him his father in a big-time WrestleMania match with potential retirement implications, it allows Dominic Mysterio to sort of rise above the shadow that he's been under this entire time.
Ikaro, would you have inducted Rey this year or wait for him to officially retire and then induct him?
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. I wouldn't have done it this year because the rule has always been induct the Hall of Famers when they're done resting. Because that was the marker, kumbaga, of your being doneness when you're finally going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Shempre, some of those got circumvented, like Edge, because they all thought that Edge was done but when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Then turns out he wasn't done. Or Booker T, but turns out he wasn't done as well. I don't know. I felt like they did the Hall of Fame induction this year because they wanted it to further the story between him and Dom. So that's my take on it. And I guess it doesn't really matter either way because as your slide said, deserve the money. I think nobody's going to argue Ray's induction.
Mm-hmm. Another induction that PW Insider actually called weeks ago and then finally na affirm na tama nga yung scoop nila was the great Muta. He's also going to be inducted as part of the Hall of Fame class of 2023. And ito na rin yung napag-usapan online several months ago na this was part of the talent exchange which allowed Shinsuke Nakamura to wrestle at NOAH earlier this year. So any big thoughts from this induction from anyone?
For me naman, yeah, this is pretty much expected kasi when we heard the news of Nakamura going to NOAH, this is one of the things. It was either a Rumble appearance or a Hall of Fame induction and at least one of those came true. So, I mean, Muta is an icon even though he didn't really step foot in a WWE ring. But he's a Japanese wrestling legend. He's also a wrestling legend and deserved naman. He had a hell of a career and congratulations to the great Muta.
Mm-hmm. Ikaw, Chino, my thoughts about this one since sabi ni Emil, he never wrestled in WWE.
No, but he did a lot of work with WCW, and of course we all know the history of how the WWE bought out WCW. So I guess by that merit, kasama na siya dun sa Hall of Fame. He's one of the first Japanese wrestlers that I have gotten to know, and one of the first Japanese wrestlers to actually cross over to the United States. Of course, it's just Antonio Inoki, but Muta in the 80s and 90s was a pretty big deal, diba? Sa kanya galing yung Mist, sa kanya galing yung Muta Lock, all these amazing things that we associate with modern-day wrestling, he actually started. So I feel like he deserves this induction and that it's just going to further the relationship that the WWE has with Japanese wrestling promotions.
Hey, man, it's just clout chasing on Triple H's part. Like, let's score some cool points with the smarks who follow Japan and old school stuff by inducting great Muta. No, I mean, siempre, the Hall of Fame has been used to celebrate not just WWE's history, but also WCW's history because of how WWE bought out WCW. And I don't think, again, like Ray, you're not going to find anyone who argues against great Muta being inducted in the Hall of Fame. So, deserved then. Ito yung, it follows the tradition of having someone who's retired go in.
Yeah, sakto. Kasi nga, he just had his retirement matches, right? Okay, we'll take a break. We'll stay with some news outside the ring when we come back. But first, we want to let you know that you can take your banking to the next level with GoTime Bank. Download the app now on Google Play or the App Store. Or to go shop, go send, and go save smarter, faster, and safer. Just visit www.gotime.com.ph or go to their official social media pages in the description of this podcast when it goes up for more details. Once again, that's www.gotime.com.ph. That's go, T-Y-M-E. It's go time. All right, we'll take that break. And now a quick word from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's stick with our news from outside the ring and talk about a couple of wrestlers who took a lot of bullying from wrestling Twitter this week in Riho and Ridge Holland. Medyo different cases nila, but you know, just the same, wrestling Twitter really showing its horrible side this week. In the case of Riho, people are hating on the Joshi style and hating on Riho being a smaller female wrestler probably has something to do with that corner of the internet who is more into like the traditional stuff. And then kay Ridge Holland, it all goes back to the Big E injury from last year. It's been an entire calendar year since Big E got injured because of that awful landing during that Ridge Holland suplex. Where do you guys want to start with this one? Ikaw, Ro, where do you want to start unpacking this issue?
No, I want to start with Riho because a lot of people still don't respect Riho. Mostly Americans, mostly people who are in the West because, siempre, Riho is undersized. They don't watch Joshi wrestling. To be fair, I don't as well, but I have seen Riho live in the flesh. Right? We've seen Riho live in the flesh and we know she's the real deal. And the problem with this is that they don't understand. They don't understand how someone as petite as Riho can be a believable wrestler. But, you know, she never presented herself as a standard, a regular size wrestler who gets by on power moves or whatever. She is a Joshi, and being a Joshi entails some lucha libre style acrobatic wrestling, some highly mobile, highly agile wrestling. And nobody understands it. They don't understand it. They just see her as small and think that she couldn't be believable at all. I've gotten into an argument with someone who says that Riho's wrestling is bad because they just don't understand it at all. So it's bad because this has been stoked by Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette has hated on the Joshi style. He's talked shit at Kenny Omega for believing in a Joshi style. And it's just so fucking sad because it's like we haven't learned anything from Hana Kimura. As much as I don't want to remember Hana Kimura as someone who sadly took her life because of bullying, that is something that is unavoidable when we're talking about these incidents. Because it can be too much. And as we saw, it got too much that Riho had to delete her account. And then she posted on Instagram saying that, oh, people actually like me. People have supported me and have sent well wishes. And that's fucking sad. Like, people have to find out the hard way that, you know, there are people who love them, diba? It's just really bad. And it's the kind of thing that makes me really hate wrestling fans and wrestling Twitter. So put some respect on Riho's name. That girl can do a lot more than you could ever do with your life.
I have a huge problem with people who are hating on Riho but are huge fans of people like Sasha Banks. Medyo similar yung style nila, diba?
Yeah.
Medyo similar din yung body type, even though Sasha is just a few inches taller than Riho. Diba? Why are you such a fan of Sasha, for example, but you're hating on Riho? I don't understand it.
Kasi nga, you know, they don't understand that that's how the girls wrestle in Japan. It feels like there is a disconnect between how Americans think wrestling should be, even with the women, and how the Japanese Joshis are actually trained to do it. Talagang, it's a lack of understanding and it's a lack of open-mindedness. It's the same way why a lot of people hate on the Young Bucks, because they don't understand that the Young Bucks wrestle in an American lucha libre style. They're stuck in their ways and their beliefs on how wrestling should be, which is really not the spirit of wrestling.
Yeah. Ina brings up a good point here in the comments. Sabi niya na there has to be implicit bias against Asians as well. Diba yung Asian hate being directed towards Riho if these are, for example, people from the West or like Americans who are commenting on Riho over on Twitter. Oh, it's just really a mess. It's just really horrible. Chino, ikaw, do you have anything to say about this incident involving Riho and wrestling Twitter?
I don't want to generalize all Americans. It's just
no, we're not saying that.
I am.
White, fuck it, I am. White people.
Fuck that. I am.
I'm not saying all Americans, because not all Americans hate Riho.
Yeah, I know, but I am still.
Okay, fine. Finding ignorance with ignorance isn't the way to do this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not defending bullies here. Let's just get that out of the way. I'm not defending bullies. I am also not saying that dapat dismissive tayo as a point of view nila. I'm really open to the fact that I think it's just the way Joshi is presented in the new side of the world that people aren't used to. Right? Like, there's this whole K-pop wave that struck the world now. And 5 years before the pandemic, nobody knew what that was. And everybody thought it was weird. But now it's such a big thing. So it really just boils down to the presentation, to the exposure that it presents to the world. Right? Maybe if they work on that, people will actually be more accepting of things. Right?
I don't know. I'm not going to blame the presentation for people's ignorance towards Riho.
Why are we blaming how they do things when that's how they're...
Kasi kung wala naman ang idea kung paano yun, diba? As a former sometimes active troll on Twitter, syempre, hindi ko maintindihan agad yun, diba? Again, I'm
not defending
you.
You have to go out and watch the product.
Kaya nga, yun nga yung sinasabi ko. That's what I'm trying to get at here, diba? Hindi ko naman sinasabi na, at tangin na, bobo nyo kasi di nyo alam yan eh. Because that's what I'm hearing from you guys. It's basically what you're saying is, bobo yung trolls kasi hindi nila pinapanood yung Joshis.
But I'm not saying bobo yung trolls. I'm saying they're evil.
Wait, calm down. Calm down. Relax, Sando boy. Calm down. What I'm trying to say is people can still learn to love the things that they don't think they like. Diba?
But they're not. So it's a problem. They're actively dismissing it. They're not. They're not doing that. They don't want to do that. They're stuck in their ways. I'm not saying they're dumb.
Hey, kung gusto nilang mag-hate, then let
them hate. But that's not a good thing. That's not acceptable. Diba? That's how Hannah Kimura did her thing. That's how we end up with these losses. And then people are going to pay lip service when something bad happens. And then what? Cycle starts all over again. That's why the hate is bad. Okay lang sana ako ignorant today. But no, they're not. That's not just it.
Yeah, I think you have to draw the line somewhere. I don't think it's as simple as if they want to hate, let them hate. Kasi letting them hate leads to them actually directing that hate to people, actual people, through their words, diba, which clearly do have an effect on people. So I think you have to draw the line there.
Ang sa akin lang is in that same regard where we're focusing on the people that are hating on Riho, pinakita din ni Riho that there were people out there reaching out to her and telling the world na, oh, there are people that love me out here. I saw the same tweets you guys saw. So parang, at the same time, it also all boils down to what you focus on here at this point. Diba? You can focus on the hate, sure, but you can also focus on the people sending their love out there, man. Like,
but it still happened. It doesn't have to be that way. It still happened. You can't just focus on one thing and completely disregard the other. It still happened. That's the problem.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Ro here because it's a major toxic positivity. Oh, look on the bright side. People do love you. People appreciate you. But like, if you are actually driven to the point of, you know, doing the thing, too late now. You're never going to get your flowers. Alam mo yun? Like, you're just going to wait for things to be too late and for people to belatedly show you appreciation and not hate on you anymore.
You're going to focus on the good things, on the people showing their love after the tragedy has happened. We don't want to get to the tragedy. That's the whole point.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they're saying here.
I get what you guys are saying here. Like, I see now we want to avoid tragedy. Diba? That's like the most extreme thing that can happen. But what I'm getting at here is that there are people out there that can, because I don't want wrestling to be this exclusive thing wherein, hindi tayo pareho ng point of view, so mali ka. Diba? Isn't that what wrestling is not supposed to be like?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Diba? I'm saying mali yung bullying Riho and people like her and wrestlers like her. That's the problem here. Not the differing opinions. The differing opinions are fine, but when they lead to this thing manifesting into something tragic, buti nga lang yung nangyari kay Riho, she just deactivated her account. But it could have been something worse, like what happened again to Hannah. That's what I'm focusing on here. Like, you can differ your opinions. Just keep it to yourself and, you know, not throw hate at the person who's actually doing the thing that you don't like.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's happening to Ridge Holland right now. But he also brought up this past week that people are sending him and his family death threats, saying all sorts of nasty things towards them, which is really, really horrible. Because, you know, Ridge Holland is someone who was just doing his job. He made amends with Big E. And if Big E could go and forgive the man, then what gives wrestling Twitter, what gives these bullies on Twitter the right to still keep harassing Ridge Holland a year after the unfortunate incident, which by all accounts was an accident?
Merong magandang way. I saw this thing online, which is just like so good. The internet empowers anonymity, right? Because there is a mass of people online that gets to comment on this one specific topic without any sort of repercussion on their part. It empowers more of these sorts of people to keep commenting on it. Even after many, many years of this very tragic accident, this very unfortunate mishap, people still feel the need to comment on it. Kasi nandun eh. Kaya nilang gawin yan, tas walang bumabalik sa kanila. And that's just one of the ugly sides of the internet. You know, you're given this mask to embolden yourself and say na, ah, mali kayo. Tama ako, expert ako. But who am I to say that when really I'm just a dude behind the screen, diba?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's the terrible thing about it. That is the observation, I guess, of how the internet makes it all work. Doesn't mean we should just lay by it, you know, take it and, you know, roll over, diba? But on Ridge naman, yeah, it's really bad. I already said last year, diba? It's an accident. Accidents happen. Xavier goes out and says it's an accident. They understand it's an accident. They understand that accidents happen. So I hope that stops it. I haven't checked on whether it's still going on. But, you know, the stablemate has already spoken. So that should be it.
Yeah. Tama ka, Chino, when you said na anonymity thing exists because of the nature of the internet. And I guess what we're trying to do on our platform, on the podcast, where we have less anonymity and our names and faces are out there, is to encourage people to be more responsible with the platform that we have. Like, if you're going to go online and you're going to comment on wrestling, do it responsibly. Like, we've already learned our lessons, hopefully not always the hard way, but we've seen it happen over the last 10, 15 years, what the things we say on the internet can do to people, especially to public figures, especially to these wrestlers who literally break their bodies for our entertainment. So, you know, I just want to close this part of the conversation on we all just have to be nicer to one another, especially on the internet where it's so easy to be such an asshole.
Just want to add before we end this, madami nang gumagamit ng internet in the last 20 years, 25 years, and we still need to remind people again of this saying, think before you click. Before sending out a post, before sending out a tweet, please think first kung tama ba yung pinopost mo, kung it makes sense. And if it doesn't break any internet etiquette, like if it doesn't hurt anyone's feelings. Plus, how hard is it for some people to not be assholes on the internet? It's
apparently pretty hard.
Yeah, so yeah, think before you click, people. Be responsible with your social media.
Clearly, you have never tried to be an asshole online, Emmy.
Yeah, that's good for him. I mean, he's more noble than either of us, you know?
Yeah.
So good for him.
He's way ahead than all of us are, apparently. So good for Emil. All right, let's move into the ring here and talk about Jey Uso. Speaking of being a dick, Jey was such a dick to Sami Zayn and basically betrayed him. And he explained on SmackDown na yung motivation niya was to protect Jimmy from further abuse and bullying from Roman Reigns. And this is something that fans have been speculating on since the episode of Raw where Jey beat down Sami. In fact, there are fan theories pa na nung nagbulong si Jey kay Sami on Raw right before the super kick na maybe it's part of a bigger plan na Jey was letting Sami in on. Na, oh, parang sumunod ka na lang ngayon, let me beat you up kasi this would be part of me making the bloodline implode even further, right? So, for now, let's stick with what's actually in the canon, which is Jey telling everyone that he did it for Jimmy Uso. So, Emil, what do you think about Jey basically letting the entire world and Roman know his motivations from the jump?
First of all, yung sa sinasabi ng mga tao na Jey and Sami are in on this, for me, na ano siya eh, nung Raw, when binanata nila si Kevin Owens, doon na nag-stick sa akin, that's not kind of true because if he's indeed on the side of Sami and those people who are fighting the bloodline, di niya pamanata ng ganun si Kevin Owens. So, in terms of the promo, I think we all expected this to happen or the moment Elimination Chamber ended, we all know this is what's gonna happen. And sinabi ko din dati na, ano, Jey Uso will always have his brother's back. Whether or not he is loyal to Roman or not, that still needs to be determined. So, madami pang mangyayari dito sa storyline na to that we need to watch out for.
Ikaw, Chino, are you convinced na Jey just did it for Jimmy, but he's still on the bloodline side and all that?
I kind of don't want to focus on like internet hearsay and meta-narrative right now. Because, I mean, I get that that's what we're here for, diba? We're here to break these stories down. But I want to focus on what the story is right now because this whole thing is drama. It's Shakespeare and I still want to get worked by it. So kung ang ending nga nito is that Sammy and Jey were in it all along, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, then good. That'll be a great story that they've never done before. But if this is just something we're trying to put in the story, then that kind of just sets me up for disappointment. And I still want to see where this is going from here on out.
Ro, you were telling me privately before we went on the stream that this wasn't exactly the best move on Jey's part.
Yeah. No, for one thing, I agree with Chino in saying I don't want to like get ahead of the story too much. Like, yes, it's fun to fantasy write the story, you know, but it's one of those things that it's been good, so we can just let them cook. Right? We can let them do their thing, right? On that note, though, Jey did come out and say in a on SmackDown, that he did it for Jimmy. He went and said that. Was it for Roman? It was for Jimmy so that Roman could not cap him. So to me, that is kind of weird because he said the quiet part out loud and saying na, okay, hindi ko naman ginawa to kasi loyal ako sa pinsan ko eh, kay Kuya Joe, diba? Ginawa ko to kasi mas loyal ako sa utol ko, which is logical. It makes sense. But what doesn't make sense is Jey outright saying for the whole world and Roman to hear that he wasn't really pledging his loyalty to the bloodline. He was just pledging his loyalty to his brother. That kind of gives Roman even more impetus to bully them. I say, you know, he knows now that he doesn't organically have their loyalty and he can't really naturally convince them to stay in line. So he'll have to go back to his harsh methods to keep control of them. So that kind of makes life harder for the twins, for the Usos. So I don't know how wise that was. Again, I don't want to get ahead of it, but if it sets up for their eventual rebellion, then okay, cool. But it's just a weird storytelling move for me. Like if I were the character, that doesn't fall within my logic. Like I would keep it to myself or keep it between me and my twin. That's just it.
On the topic of family drama, tuloy pa rin, of course, yung bloodline drama. But now Cody Rhodes is very much a part of it because he's coming out to save Sami Zayn. KO is saying directly to Cody na wag ka makisawsaw. This is my issue. You go focus on your WrestleMania main event with Roman Reigns. Chino, what do you think of Cody's involvement here? Because we have said last week na Cody feels like he's just a number two to the bigger family drama saga.
Yeah, this is them trying to them being the creative team, trying to pigeonhole Cody into that spot that was supposed to be his. Ang pangit lang tignan for me because I'm still not buying his relevance in the story. Yes, he won the Royal Rumble, diba? So he deserves a shot at Roman Reigns. But then at the same time, I don't really care for that right now. I'm still very much focused on Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens trying to take down the bloodline. So this B plot of Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns masquerading as an A plot is not something that I enjoy watching.
Ikaw, Emil, do you feel like nagkaroon ng improvement after what Cody said this week?
Parang ganun pa din eh. If you watch the show without context or without actually knowing what's going to be the main event of WrestleMania, you think the main event of WrestleMania is going to be involving Sami Zayn and the Usos and Kevin Owens. You see, yun yung mas prominent story, even on SmackDown. So, parang lumalabas na, ano, semi-main event lang yun si Cody Rhodes. So, I think they still need to do more. Pero, ano, they're already booked into that corner a long time ago. So, ano pa ba magagawa nila? They're just trying, I think, their best to at least relate those two stories together. They did such a good job in the Cody and Sami promo a while back, but they haven't really followed that up really well, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Ro, we call this yung go-home promos, diba? Na normally, we would see on the go-home show before WrestleMania. And this is the second type of go-home promo in about as many weeks involving Cody.
Yeah. First of all, I agree with Gina in saying that. Well, Cody's involvement in all of this feels like the B-plot to the A-plot. Kasi wala ka naman choice. Again, inadvertently wrote the Bloodline story to be the most compelling thing on the show. So that ended up being the A-plot pa rin. And yun nga, Cody is kind of shoehorned into the B-plot. Buti na lang there was a kind of connective thread to all of it when Cody talked to Sammy before Elimination Chamber. So there is yung katiting na, ano, na justification to help Sammy and by extension Kevin Owens out. But that's about it. Cody is still not really the focus of the Bloodline and Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Reigns just treats him as, okay, I am contractually obligated to have this championship match at WrestleMania with Cody, but, you know, the major part of my concern is my family imploding and Sami Zayn being a thorn in my side. But, so, yeah, that's a whole other thing that I do not know how they're going to fix. And related to that, as you mentioned, Cody has been putting out some good promos. There is no denying that. He's really good at those. He is really good at stirring those emotions, that moving, touching those heartstrings. This week's Raw promo to rile himself up, that felt like a go-home thing. It felt like something you would hear on the last Raw or SmackDown before WrestleMania. So it was such a climax. It was such a high note for Cody because it makes him look strong heading into the title match. That I am not exactly sure where he goes again from this. Kasi, eto ka na yun. Dito ka lang sa taas eh. Paano mo patataas yan? So, bababa ka ulit. Tapos, pagdating ng WrestleMania, tataas ka ulit. So, that's not quite how a story is told. I think everyone here can understand that the climax, you know, it goes up and then shoots down and in the denouement. So, that's weird to me. I do not know how they plan to write the whole thing out with 2 weeks left before the big show. So I guess they can surprise me, but, you know, it feels like a story that's told out of order.
Mm-hmm. Ikaw, Chino, how would you fix this since you are into this type of narratives, about this type of writing?
Yeah. No, so I feel like the main focus from here on out should go back to Roman Reigns, not the Bloodline, Roman Reigns himself, because he is the focal point of all of this. He is the leader of the Bloodline, which Sammy and Kevin Owens are trying to take down. And he also has both titles, which Cody Rhodes wants, about being the winner of the Royal Rumble. So, ang sa akin lang is, if they focus on the turmoil that Roman Reigns is facing right now, it might make even more compelling plot point. Whereas, because he is trying to fight a war on different fronts here at the same time. Diba? Parang trying to split his attention, diba? So when that happens and he's pulled in all sorts of directions, doon mo na makikita kung ano talaga yung convictions niya. What's more important to him at this point? Is it the titles that he's holding on to or is it keeping the Bloodline together?
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see. Sabi nga ni Ro, we have 2 more weeks before WrestleMania. So that's another 2 episodes of Raw. And if Cody decides to go to SmackDown, another 2 SmackDowns. For them to advance whatever they can still advance from this point. Switching gears, we got to talk about Bray Wyatt, who we haven't seen in a few weeks. And people are saying he's probably injured. May ibang rumors na he supposedly walked out because of a creative issue. Ang alam natin is that he's supposed to be in a storyline with Bobby Lashley. So this is all very weird na after nagparamdam na si Bray and Uncle Howdy dito kay Bobby Lashley, biglang nothing ulit from Bray Wyatt. So, Emil, what do you think about Bray's sudden disappearance from TV right now?
Actually, again, I'm indifferent to Bray. But the person I feel sorry in all of this is Bobby Lashley. I mean, dude had a great year and definitely deserving siya na magkaroon ng great showing at WrestleMania. But with Bray Wyatt possibly being out, injured, or walked out, or depending who you talk to, I mean, he's in limbo. Like, what will happen with this match now? So, I don't know. I do hope everything is okay with Bray, though. If he is indeed injured, I hope he gets well. If not, then I don't know. I hope they can resolve this if they are indeed going through with this match.
Mm-hmm. Ikaw, Ro, what do you think about these rumors na either it was like a creative issue or maybe an injury?
I didn't miss him. I didn't even realize he was gone. So, he was missing from the show. I didn't know. That's how much I do not look forward or think about him at all. Yamilo's right in saying, ako ba si Bobby Lashley. He moved from a not quite decisive ending to his feud with Brock to this feud with Bray that isn't quite the best use of his abilities. And now Bray's missing. I mean, I hope he's just injured. I don't hope that he is injured, but I hope that there wasn't like a walkout when it comes to his creative, because that's a lot worse.
To add context to the Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar thing, Justin Barrasso of Sports Illustrated wrote na the reason why Brock versus Bobby, which people were thinking would happen at Mania, it happened at Elimination Chamber, is because they were hoping to get Brock Lesnar versus Stone Cold at WrestleMania. But WWE and Stone Cold couldn't come to terms for a deal for WrestleMania, which is why we're now here at Brock Lesnar versus Omos. And Bobby Lashley being rumored to still be pushing forward with Bray Wyatt. So, Chino, Igao, knowing this, does it change any of your opinions on Bray and where he's at right now?
This current run of Bray Wyatt has been somewhat underwhelming. This coming from a Bray Wyatt fan. There isn't a clear path forward here. Bray with the UV face paint. We saw Uncle Howdy, great. He's that stable, which still has to come out still. But we don't really know where this is all going. Why is he going after Bobby Lashley here? I can see a creative rupture in this scenario happening. Kasi hindi na ito yung original idea ni Bray Wyatt, I guess. Other people might have gotten their fingers in his pot and he might not have liked it. Diba? If that was the case, ma-resolve naman nila yan. Because again, Bray Wyatt was released and Triple H asked him to come back. Diba? So parang may opportunity pa rin sila to work together. There's a collaborative effort behind all of this. So sana ma-resolve nila ito kung creative difference ka. If injury, then sana he gets better soon. Sana umabot siya na WrestleMania.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll cross over to AEW. We'll talk about the Four Pillars and Wardlow's latest storyline and how apparently everything is part of the story. First, though, we got to let you hear from our other podcasts right here on Podcast Network Asia.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to get to the audio-only part of this week's podcast. We've got four topics for you across AEW and WWE. We're going to start with AEW because on Dynamite this morning, we saw the AEW debut of Taya Valkyrie. So she came out as another opponent for Jade Cargill. And I don't know, this is another person who came from WWE. Is she going to join the Outcasts next?
Well, to be fair, she also came from Impact Wrestling. That's her most recent stop. So I don't know if accepting ba sila sa Impact wrestlers than sa Outcasts.
Gets ko yung point na Outcasts. I know why they're named that way. Kasi yun nga, they were, well, except for Soraya, kasi Soraya left her on her own. Diba? But, you know, sina Tony, well, Tony also left on her own. But the idea, the kayfabe idea was that they weren't wanted by the big company. So Taya actually has more of a claim to that, if it ever comes to that. Pero parang hindi naman kasi she is clearly a face against Jade Cargill.
And Taya is one of those names that I brought up last year when we talked about people who we like to go back to the WWE, but looks like she didn't, and she heads to AEW, where I think she's gonna have more exposure, I think, and another body on the roster, which is a good thing, always a good thing. I just hope she doesn't get the same treatment as Ruby Soho did. But she came in, had a program, and then no Lasha for a while. So I just hope she gets consistent TV time. And who knows, maybe she'll be the one to beat Jade Cargill finally for the TBS title.
I just have a problem with all of these new faces being brought in to be Jade Cargill's next challenger, only for them to lose eventually. And then, wala na, sino eventually natatalo kay Jade? That's what I mean. Like, Chino, do you think Taya's believable as someone to finally defeat Jade Cargill?
Nah, I don't think so. I think if anything, they might give it to a younger AEW star, like somebody that they might be spending time building up on. I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Just yet to go. Right.
Yeah. I actually have, need a scoop, but I did read about this a while back. So the person they are grooming for this spot is none other than Chris Statlander. So naudot lang kasi na-injure na naman si Stat, but that was the plan. I knew that they were planning to finally take the title off of Jade kasi syempre, it has been a couple of years, I think. Almost a couple of years. Mm-hmm. She was the inaugural TBS champion. She is the only TBS champion. So I know, or I did read that yun yung mangyayari and could not happen to a better wrestler. So I've always wanted for Stat to get her due. So I think this is it. She just has to stay healthy.
Okay, so going back to Taya, what do you think she adds to this already loaded AEW women's division?
I think number one is veteranship, experience. She is a world-traveled vet. She's been to all these different companies, diba? She's had experience in all sorts of promotions. So she brings that to the table. Number two, it's also a steady hand. If in case they need mystery partner, and then Valkyrie shows up. Diba? Not to discredit her talent in the ring. I'm sure she's deserving of her own program as well. But this roster is deep, and Tony Khan still doesn't know what he's doing with the women's division. So at the very least, I want to feel optimistic that Taya can provide all sorts of things for that company.
I'm actually going to agree with that. It's hard to notice because, the women are lost in their token segment a week. But at this time, they had a match and a segment. So that's pretty cool. But with every alum that Tony Khan has been adding to the women's division, the division slowly gets steadily better and better. Hindi lang napapansin kasi yun nga, they don't get as much time. But now the division is a lot more watchable. They don't have to rely so much on the younger wrestlers who are admittedly inexperienced. So yun nga, may na-injure like Chris Statlander, like Ruby Soho sometimes. So the more that they have that deep veteran bench that they can fall on, the more consistent the division could be. So that's what they're headed to. It's more of a long-term rebuilding. But again, as Chino said, it also should go hand in hand with better booking of that division. Mm-hmm.
There's some rumblings on the internet that Butch is going to go back to being called Pete Dunne. So si Wrestle Votes on Twitter yung nag-report nito. According to WrestleVotes, he was told that it's already in the works and that as soon as Triple H came back and took over creative, nasa agenda niya na pala na Pete Dunne was going to go back to being Pete Dunne. But apparently, the Brawling Brutes were getting over, which they were and which they are. So now that Butch has been off TV since February, I guess he's inactive right now. Para pagbalik niya, he'll have been gone for quite a while. People will miss him and it'll be like, oh, it's Pete Dunne. He's back and all of that. So, ikaw, Chino, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I don't know where that leaves the Brawling Brutes then. Like, is he still part of the Brutes as Pete Dunne?
Sabi nung Wrestle Votes na wala na siya sa Brawling Brutes if he comes back as Pete Dunne.
Oh, really? Wow, that's huge.
Oh, well, that's interesting then. They're just breaking up the Brawling Brutes like that without any sort of story implication. That's interesting. Kasi, sayang eh, sayang work. I really like the Brutes for the short run that they had. I found them very entertaining. So I don't understand why. I feel like Butch, as divisive as a name as it was working for Pete Dunne and he was able to make it work. He was given a role. He stuck with it. He worked it out. So I might be in the minority here, but I feel like it was an unnecessary shift. back to Peyton. Siguro doon siya doon niya gusto, doon siya masaya, and Triple H wants to keep his wrestlers happy. I don't know, but I feel like Butch was working good.
Yeah, as Butch, he was already wearing the singlet and wrestling like Pete Dunne anyway. So, Emil, does it matter to you whether he's Butch or Pete Dunne?
You know, I know. Initially, when Pete Dunne was given the Butch gimmick, he acted differently from what we know of Pete Dunne. Like, he was this scrappy guy, na sugod na sugod. But when he became Butch and he became really over, tapos when Triple H took over, they brought him back, you know, the same gear. And actually, the last few months, if you watch him on TV and you didn't know what his name, you thought you're watching Pete Dunne and not really Butch. So might as just well, kung ganun din talaga, so balik na lang yung, ano, balik na lang yung Pete Dunne name. Although, I really dig the Butch gimmick. Like, I really love that one. But it, by the looks of things, he's a Triple H guy anyways, and he's one of the guys na Triple H really pushed hard when in NXT. So I'm okay with it, but I'll miss the Butch gimmick, man. That was a fun gimmick.
Ikaw, Ro, any feelings towards the Butch gimmick going bye-bye?
You know what they say, you know that quote from Smaller and Smaller Circles, nah, time and forgetfulness are the allies of abusers. Time and forgetfulness are the allies of Vince McMahon's name changes. Kaya for this, it was already normalized that Pete Dunne is Butch, but I guess for a subset of fans, especially those who followed NXT, Butch will always be Pete Dunne. I think a lot of people din naman are not cool with Butch. I mean, Butch himself isn't cool. He's just being a pro about it, which is fair. I mean, Pete Dunne is the identity and character that he built over the years. So I think it's also fair to him to let him go back to what made him the money and what got him signed to WWE. So kudos to Peter Dunne for being a pro and rolling with it and making it his own. But I think this is the reward for him for doing that. So okay lang din. Butch was good. I agree that the character really was distinct and he made it work. But I think it's time then to go back. And I think Pete Dunne was really inseparable from Pete Dunne. And even though a wider range of fans who only follow the main roster knew him as Butch, I think that Triple H then wants to honor everyone who followed him from the start. And with regard to being no storyline implication, I don't think that's going to be the case, because Triple H has proven the man that he cares about how things go from point A to point B. So I don't think it's going to be a random, okay, he emerges back from being inactive on TV to suddenly being Pete Dunne. I think there's going to be an explanation for all of that. Like how LA Knight moved from Max Dupree and became LA Knight again. So I don't think the man hindi siya magiging hardworking.
Great that you mentioned LA Knight, Ro, because we're going to talk about him next. LA Knight is reportedly set for a big push after WrestleMania. That was a report from WrestleNews.co. And apparently people in WWE are pretty happy with the live reactions he's been getting at the events. So apparently, Chino, Emil, you guys are big fans of LA Knight. So it's kind of weird that he's going to have to wait until after Mania for the push. He's not in a WrestleMania program right now. Chino, do you think there's still time to write LA Knight into a Mania story or a match?
No, I think the post-Mania push might be better for LA Knight, considering how many storylines they have going into Mania. You got Bloodline. Those are two different storylines with Roman and the Usos and Sammy and KO and Cody, all in the pot together, right? And then on the other side of things, you have Cena and Austin Theory. And then we didn't even talk about this. We have Edge and Balor, who are now suddenly in a Hell in a Cell match, diba? Madaming nangyayari sa Mania ngayon that I feel like a post-Mania push for LA Knight will allow the former Eli Drake to stretch his chops a little bit more, to allow him to tell a story without a constricting time frame. Because that's what he does best. He talks, right? And if you give the guy enough room to talk, he will talk. And he will put the story over. And I kind of want to see him do that in a unconstricted environment.
Ikaw, Emil, what would you prefer if you were LA Knight? Sabi natin you're in his shoes, no? Would you prefer that you get ridden into a WrestleMania story or a match with about 2 weeks before the big weekend? Or would you prefer to get that big post-Mania push, whatever that looks like down the road?
I would choose the post-Mania push. Kasi I mean, he's over naman na eh. Whatever he do from now until Mania, he's going to be over nonetheless. So they can carry that momentum towards a post-Mania push where the spotlight is on him. Like, what? All these storylines are probably done by that point. So all the spotlight is on him. He can do what he does best, and that, you know, is talk and be himself. And he already has proven himself. Now he can get over with the crowd, even by just talking and even without any relevant storylines. I mean, like any other superstar after that Bray Wyatt feud, their push and their momentum would be gone just like that. But with LA Knight, hindi nangyari sa kanya. Instead, people got, you know, rooted for him even more after that Bray Wyatt program, which this didn't really end well. So, sa dun pa lang sa point na yun, na survive na yun, he would be okay with not having a Mania program because we all know he's going to be over nonetheless. And having a post-Mania push, that's going to be more beneficial to him, I think.
Igaro, same question as what I asked Emil.
Yeah, I'm coming at this from a wrestler's perspective na sinasabihin ako na, okay, we have the story planned for you and we'll do it, you know, at a certain time in the booking calendar, diba? If he is a wrestler worth his salt, and I think he is a man, considering that he got to the main roster, he'll know that if he gets a WrestleMania story out of the blue, even though, yes, it's a WrestleMania payday for him, which is a lot, it's also going to come off as being rushed. And, you know, he should think that it's not going to be as effective as they might want. Diba? So, yes, the post-WrestleMania push is a lot better for him because from there, you can focus on telling the right kind of story the proper way. You maximize whatever effect that's going to have on his overness, and he's going to come off all the better for it. So, yeah, you really don't want a story that's badly told just because you're trying to make it in the next 2 weeks at Mania.
Saka, he doesn't really need a program to appear at Mania. He can just go out there, cut a little promo, then whoever interrupts him, then, you know, he doesn't really need to do much because he's already over enough and he's talented enough to do that. So
yeah, that's a great point. Elias wasn't on the WrestleMania 35 card. He went out, did his thing, and then the Doctor of Thugonomics came out and gave him an FU, diba? So maybe LA Knight could make his WrestleMania payday like that. Okay, we're going to close things out dito sa audio-only portion by talking about Roxanne Perez. And it appears she's getting stripped of the NXT Women's Championship based on the wording. Because they basically did it without explicitly saying it on TV this past
week. No, they're booking women's qualifying matches for a match at Stand and Deliver.
It's right, for right. So they didn't say specifically that she's getting stripped, but the implication was there. Like, sobrang kita mo naman na that's the direction in which they're going. Which leads me to believe na I think Roxanne Perez miraculously comes back and is the last participant in the match on the day of Stand and Deliver. That's just me, huh? But what do you think about Roxanne Perez getting stripped of the title in the first place after that Mako Satomura match? So we're going to start with Emil here.
Masyadong ano naman yung strip. I mean, if this, they should have, parang dapat na lang interim na lang sana if they were headed that way. So Roxanne's first reign would end just like that, getting stripped of the title. I don't like it. But yeah, wala talagang reports of like her being injured in real life. This is like pure storyline thing.
Mm-hmm.
I also expect her to also make a miraculous comeback by Stand and Deliver. And so I don't know. Is she going to have a second reign? Or if she wins, is it going to be a continuation of her first reign? So,
that's not bad thing though.
I'm still quite shaky about this, if I'm going to be completely honest.
Mm. Igaw Chino, what do you think this does for Roxanne?
It takes away from her legitimacy as a champion, to be honest. And they are so desperate in making her look like an underdog that they are willing to sacrifice her title reign just so they can get that comeback pop that is bound to happen, diba? Na siyang mysterious last person there. And what it does is it just makes her not look like a legitimate champion when in her past two defenses, she has looked nothing but legitimate, diba? Yun lang yung nakita ko sa kanya. She faced two women at the same time in her first title defense. Her second title defense was against a legend in Meiko Satomura. So what else does this girl need to do for people to say na ito na yung bagong women's champion. This is the face of the NXT women's division. I don't know why this is the move they decided to go with here.
Mm-hmm. Ro, you wrote about this dun sa Patreon review for NXT, diba?
Yeah. Ako naman, my feelings on it is, yes, you could do the Shawn Michaels collapsing thing. That's totally human and that's realistic as an athlete. That's totally cool with me. To me, I just do not agree that if they are actually stripping her of the championship, that's not cool. She won the match. The doctor with the French accent already mentioned that she wasn't going to be away for a long time. They were basically clearing her, but they're going to have to wait and see. So I don't understand bakit napunta sa title vacation from there when you said that she was going to come back soon, just not now. So yeah, that to me made Meiko Satomura look worse. Kasi tatanggalan mo na championship si Roxy, but Meiko Satomura pretty much killed her out there. She didn't win, but she killed her. And she doesn't even get the championship. So she kind of looks like a chump on paper for not winning and not being the champion. So kung ganun din lang, if you're going to take the championship off of Roxanne, why not just have Meiko win in the first place? Yes, she won the first match nila. And now Roxanne gets the win back. But, you know, if she's such a final boss, then I don't think it was a bad idea to have her win to begin with. Like, she does deserve to be a women's champion. Like, as long as she's not retired, right? Let's give her the championship. She is like the best they've got over there. She's the most veteran. She's the most experienced. She's the stiffest, if you will. So it just, if they are pushing through with this, it makes Meiko look really, really bad.
Mas ano, mas may sense pa yung idea ni Ro na in their match, Meiko should have won. And then you tell the story of Roxanne getting back, then making this comeback and beating Meiko Satomura for the title. So mas okay pa yun kesa sa what they're doing of, like, you know, having multiple women ladder match and, you know, she's gonna make their comeback there. So Ro actually had a really great point there.
Yeah, so Ro, what you're basically saying is nobody won here coming out of the women's championship match.
If they take the championship offer, nobody wins. If they leave things as is, okay lang. Meiko kind of wins there. Kasi in the end, Roxanne collapsed because of what she did. Diba? So that's a moral victory, I guess. I mean, not really a victory because who wants to see that? Diba? I mean, Meiko was distraught after the match. Diba? So but the paper victory, you know, could have been hers, if you will.
So there. Those are the audio-only topics we're covering for this week's episode. Don't forget, you can always reply and keep the conversation going on Twitter and on TikTok. It is at Wrestling2XPod. Happy 316 Day, everyone. All right, let's talk about AEW. We got MJF's rebar mitzvah earlier, and it was a setup for the four pillars to all meet in the ring, and it looks like they're heading towards a story where Sammy Guevara, Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, and Darby Allin will be the next challengers for MJF's AEW World Championship. Emil, are you happy with how the four pillars have suddenly been brought up to this point?
Yes, I am so happy we're going to get this because at least it gives us a break from a typical MJF singles feud where MJF would make their opponent go through five stages of hell before getting a title match, before, you know, meeting him in a match and doing the same old stuff. So at least here, may bago. And it's not MJF versus an old wrestler, an old veteran. It's like MJF against what you would consider his peers, right? These are the four young wrestlers that they call the pillars. So may something nahok na ako. Like this promo, I'm already hooked. I'm ready for this storyline. And suddenly, I'm interested in the world title scene again.
Ikaw, Ro, nabigla ka ba? Nabiglang all of a sudden, it's MJF versus these three young guys.
Yeah, wasn't expecting that. I mean, wala akong ideas or suggestions for who MJF's next contenders would be. But wow, am I surprised now? Or am I also refreshed that these are homegrown AEW guys? Because as far back as I can remember, and I could be wrong here, but I think since AEW's birth, I think, the world title scene has always involved a veteran or alumnus from another major league company. So if it's not WWE, it's NJPW. And I think, again, I could be wrong, But I think this is like the first time they are sticking their homegrown guys, not young guys, but homegrown guys into the picture. In a major feud. It seems like a major feud because
it's for the world title.
It is for the world title. But if it's not the first time, it's the first time in as far as I can remember. So that's pretty cool and kind of signifies like a moving from the time where AEW absolutely needed their big name signings to help carry the main event scene to a place where, okay, pwede na. The fans are buying into our young dudes and we can prop them up with pun maybe intended, Four Pillars.
Mm-hmm. Ikaw, Chino, as someone who's actually been to these AEW shows in person, are you ready for these young guys or these homegrown guys to be in the main event?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've seen two of them perform live during Revolution. They definitely can go. I want to be invested in this rivalry because Tony Khan feels like these young dudes are ready to put the company on their shoulders. Diba? Kaya nga sila tinawag na pillars here. That means we won't have, we'll be able to not see people like John Moxley or Jericho in the main event picture for quite some time. And that's actually quite refreshing. I'm just going to echo the sentiments of the other people on this pod here. Kasi nakakasawa din siya, to be honest. After a while, you can only take so much of your Jericho's and Moxley's and Danielson's before you want to sort of fantasy book and think, what would it be like to see somebody like Jungle Boy, who's a pure babyface, against MJF? What would it be like to see somebody like Darby Allin, who is unwashed, supposedly, against somebody as polished as MJF? So these are the scenarios that are playing in my head when they tease these four pillars going at each other.
Yeah, the next big AEW event is Double or Nothing, which is in May. So I guess they have 2 months to tell this story and flesh this out. Should be interesting to see where they go from here kasi hindi pa naman sineset yung match. So it doesn't look like nagmamadali sila to actually get to that point. So we'll see what happens.
That was like the best Darby Allin promo I ever heard where he called out.
You know what? I agree with you.
He called out those grown-ass wrestlers who complains way too much. That kudos to Darby Allin. He really did good earlier.
I didn't know he had it in him.
I didn't really care about his film school story though. okay. You dropped out. Cool.
Actually, ano nga, ay, like for parang week ka pala eh, di mo tinapos yung ano mo eh, yung college experience mo eh. Ayaw mo ng critique? Nag-quit ka lang. Yun yung ano yung nasa utak ko. But, you know, we digress. Let's move on to QTV here, which was also revealed on Dynamite. So, it's QT Marshall's new little angle where parang TMZ and he's got Aaron Solo in there. Hobbs is there. This blonde lady with a thick British accent there. And a couple of guys na hindi nagsalita. So, apparently, the break-in was a work based on what we're being shown dito sa QTV. I don't know, it could still be real kasi sabi mo nga, Chino, di ba na talamak yung mga break-in incidents in the Bay Area, but from what they showed us on Dynamite, it looks like it was a plot talaga to get inside Wardlow's head and weaken him in time for the TNT Championship match. So, what do you think about all this, Chino?
It's funny because I remember asking myself how kayfabe is kayfabe right now, and apparently this is pretty much inclusive of that scenario, di ba? Kasi kala natin noong una, kawawa si Wardlow kasi nawala niya yung belt, di ba? Balis niya. Swerte yung homeless guy na ako ng belt. But apparently, it's work. And I like being worked. I just don't know if I like being worked in this manner. It's smart. Yeah, sure, it's funny to look at right now. But I don't know, man. It's like, it blurs the line. And I don't know if that's something I like watching right now.
Mm-hmm. Ro, it's a way better thing than what QT had to do with the factory, diba?
Yeah, to be fair, naitawid niyan. I'm familiar with TMZ because we saw it on Jack TV after wrestling.
Yeah. Like so, we grew up to that stuff too.
Yeah, so yeah, naitawid niyan. It is definitely more entertaining than what QT Marshall was doing with the factory. And Aaron Solo being there is just, you know, cherry on top.
Pinoy pride.
Yeah. John Christopher, yeah, I did actually think that. But when Chino told us na talamak ang break-in incident sa Bay Area, I kind of had an inkling kasi first they mentioned it on the show last week na it figured into the storyline. And then I thought na, oh, Hobbs is from Sacramento. Tapos there was a break-in and then, you know, the break-ins are a Bay Area thing. Maybe there's a chance that this could have been at least a part of the storyline now. And guess what? It is. And whether or not it had roots in a real life, a shoot break-in, it's a nice work. I will admit that. I still think it's a full work. I say they had the championship on the show last week. Right? So
yeah,
surely it couldn't have been lost forever. You know? So there's that. I guess there is potential in this QTV. Storyline, buti na lang yung QTV natin dito sa Pilipinas matagal nang wala. So,
RIP channel.
Kala ko wala na pa si Camille Pretz eh.
So, yeah, I still don't think Hobbs is like a proper fit for the QTV thing, but the QTV thing is entertaining.
Ikaw, Emil, bagay ba sa'yo si Hobbs sa QTV or do you want him out of there and for QTV to be its own separate thing without Hobbs?
Yeah, I want Hobbs to be his own thing. I just want to say this about QTV. The concept of QTV TMZ, it's like 10 years too late.
True.
Because like,
that's true.
TMZ hasn't been... Relevant. Nung bata ako, yeah, I love to watch it. Pero, ano, it's a thing of the 10 years ago. So, yun lang. Yun lang po say ko.
I will correct you, sir. TMZ is still very much around.
No. What Emil is trying to say is that it's not relevant. The last time it was relevant was when Kanye was on there and said slavery was a good thing.
they still break news, diba? It's still a thing. Yeah. So hindi naman.
Yeah, they still break news, but hindi siyang may TV presence at tulad ng dati.
I mean, tayo sa Pilipinas.
Hindi, kasi against ko naman yung sinasabi ni Emil, but you gotta understand, this product was made in the U.S. In the U.S., it's pretty relevant.
Okay.
For everybody else in the side of the world.
I didn't enjoy watching it on Jack TV. For one thing.
I guess to be fair, hindi na kasi ganun ka relevant sa ating mga Pinoy, di ba? Yung TMZ in its TV format.
They're probably gonna have Kanye back on the show.
Oh, God. All right. Any other thoughts on QTV before we move on?
I think that's it.
You know, yeah.
Stick around for the audio only, which comes out tomorrow on Spotify or your favorite podcast platforms. We'll talk about Taya Valkyrie. We'll talk about Butch and what's next for him. LA Knight and Roxanne Perez also on the menu for the audio only version. But for now, we got to begin winding down. So Chino, let us know what you have on your menu for the next few days.
Oh, so next week we have a stand-up show. It'll be myself and Ryan Rem Sarita of the Cool Pals doing our first joint special together. He and I started doing stand-up all the way in 2008, and this will be the first time we share a special together. He will be doing 30 minutes each. That's at Paper Lantern, March 24, 9 p.m. For tickets, check out comedymadela.ph/shows.
Ikaw, Emil, anything going on for you right now?
No, just follow me on TikTok at @email_meister22 for some sports opinions and on Twitter at @email_meister.
Right, Ro?
Right. MWF Kasaysayan will be showing, if you missed the show, it will be showing pretty soon on our gang, on MWF's gang profile. Just go to manilawrestling.com to subscribe. It's only $10 or around 570 pesos. You get access to old episodes and current episodes as they show, as they premiere. So you can pay via debit card, credit card, GCash, PayPal, I believe. A lot of ways to pay if you want to support local wrestling. Follow us on TikTok as well, at Wrestling2XPod. We'll post clips of anything that you missed. If you're watching this, you already know. But if you're listening to this on Spotify, you want to see the video or you want to see what you missed, just follow us on social media.
All right. For me, go check out On Deck with Stancy. New episode dropped yesterday about the state of the industry, at least the FM side of things. If getting into it is actually a good idea or not in the current landscape of radio. Next week's episode is another one that I'm looking forward to release, and it's all about listener engagement and interaction. Like, I'm going to be talking to a radio listener and getting inside their headspace towards why they still listen to the radio today and what made it so appealing to begin with. For everything else that we do, you can check us out individually. It is at Chino Supersized, at EML underscore Meister, at Ro is War, at Monday Night Rowan, and at underscore Stan C. The guys will catch you on April 2 and 3 for our WrestleMania watch party that is happening at Skinny Mike's BGC. Like we said earlier, prizes from Disney Plus and some WWE goodies will be up for grabs. And we're also going to let you know that about a month from now, April 23, that's a Sunday, we're going to be celebrating our 9th anniversary of the Wrestling podcast with a live recording session. So that means we're going to be selling tickets to the live recording. We're going to post more details when they're available, but the link should be up very soon on pnalive.com. Again, that is pnalive, that's L-I-V-E.com. All right, we got to get out of here. So we'll catch you again on Tuesday for our Picks of the Week episode and Thursday, as always, for our regular live stream. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to our babyface producers, Mike, Joshua, and Angel, and everyone else from PNA for doing all of the work behind the scenes. On behalf of Emil ASH, Chino Liao, and Ro Moran, my name is Stan C, saying stay safe, stay healthy, and don't be a dick, especially if you're on wrestling Twitter. Wrestling Podcast out.
Peace.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.